Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn. Today I have a very exciting guest. He's a man who's been pushing me for a little while to get on here. I think he was doubting if I liked him or if I doubted the quality that he might bring to your ears today. But Mr. Eddie Herzenberg is a friend of mine from the A license. We were in the same group. We had some great times out there. And so, Eddie, welcome to Heads and Volleys.
Oh, no, thank you. I appreciate it. And you're absolutely right. I was beginning to doubt every little bit of our friendship and our, you know, professional relationship. So, you know, I'm happy to be able to be on this platform with you. I appreciate every bit of it.
I was just teeing you up. That's all I was doing. Just getting you super excited to bring the story to us.
I'm already excited. You don't have to tee it up. I've been waiting for this for 3 months.
So here we go. Give us a little intro. Who are you? Where do you live? What do you do?
Yeah, man. I'm Eddie Herzenberg. So I'm currently in Arizona. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. I've got a wife and two kids. I've been out here in Arizona for now about 5 or 6 years. Coaching full time now. Since moving out here, right when we moved out here, I would say I stopped my professional playing career, my soccer playing career. So I was able to kind of grow through and play college soccer, have a little stint playing some professional soccer in and out of the States, which was nice experience. But yeah, now I'm living in Arizona, full-time soccer coach and, you know, full-time dad.
Let me ask you, did you end up in Arizona for coaching, or how did you end up there from Cincinnati? I know you said kind of with travel and play, and which we'll get to, the idea of traveling across the world really and playing, but how have you ended up in Arizona?
No, actually, I mean, my wife now works at Intel out here in Arizona, big hub out here in Arizona, Chandler. So we basically, we planted ourselves in Cincinnati because that was our hometown. We actually bought a house. We were ready to go. And then she actually was offered just a great position kind of out of nowhere, kind of back with Intel because that's where she was working kind of out of college. And so the opportunity kind of rose and we couldn't really pass it up. So we said, let's get out there. Let's see what it's all about. So that's what brought us out here was her working at Intel. And like I said, I moved out here just with, you know, my coaching and my playing experience and just started to try to keep up with both, you know, try to play, try to coach. And that's why we're out here still.
So the global game can take you anywhere. It brought me to the US from the UK, and it took you from just an experience to be able to go and land anywhere and be able to get on the field and show what you know. I love that. It's awesome. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your playing, the different countries you've been in, and what that was like as a player.
Yeah, my playing career, I've just been kind of flying through, playing. I never really say I had a structured route. You know, I think there's, you know, being in coaching and being a part of the game now, you see every which way you could plan a route to play professional soccer or to play college soccer. And, I continue to express to people that everybody has their own route because I was just fortunate, I think. Just I kept playing. I was very persistent. I was led by a lot of my peers. You know, my peers kind of, hey, I'm going to this college. Oh, well, okay, I guess I'll go there with you, you know, type of thing. So guys were kind of driven like that. I was driven just by, just fortunate coaches around me and things like that. So I actually played junior college, and then I transferred to a NAIA school and just kind of, like I said, just being persistent. You know, both programs were really good soccer programs that I was actually to play at. I was able to earn scholarship for both of those. But it wasn't necessarily I was, you know, recruited and touted and, high profile type of things like that. I just kind of stuck with it. And then right out of college, I was fortunate enough just to get called into the reserves for the crew for the end of the year and just played with them. And again, you know, it was one of those situations I would have never really thought of. And it just happened and I probably wasn't ready for it. That's why I didn't stick around at that level. So then at that time there was PDL and USL was just kind of getting going and things like that. So I just stuck with it. I played indoor soccer professionally and just anywhere I could play. I was just trying to play. So that just kind of kept me, you know, around and meeting new people and things like that. And I was fortunate enough, again, with my wife to have the opportunity to go overseas, explore things over there, and just basically trial at different, you know, places. There was connections that I had made through the USL that I was able to, hey, let me, can I come over there and train with you and be a part of those programs? And, you know, again, with good people, I was able to have those opportunities and, you know, able to just play and meet people. So, and then came back and finished my career, basically playing a little bit of the USL, in Dayton for the Dutch Lions. And, that's kind of when we kind of moved out here.
The idea of persistence, I like that. The story isn't, I don't want to say pretty, but that's the idea, that it's never going to be a picturesque story for a lot of players. And a lot of players will sit and say, I want to be a pro, or I think I want to be a pro, but I don't maybe understand or respect what that pathway necessarily means. And as you said, the idea that it could be multiple pathways, it could be multiple turns in a pathway that you think you're on. And then the idea of, to kind of take from that, of not burning bridges, of connecting with people as much as you can, and really just not knowing where it's going to end up. I think having that open mind has been so rewarding for you.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I would have never, I didn't have my own closed mind. And I think that's my personality too, is just being open and open-minded to processes. And I continued with that with my coaching too, is, you know, I enjoy the way I coach, but I would never go into a coaching, or, you know, you and I learned a ton of stuff from the A license, just from other people. And I think that's more what it's about, just being open. So even when I was playing or things like that, I would have never said, like, you know, hey, this is not how I want it to be. This is not how I plan to be. One, because maybe I was just, you know, just naive and hopeful and just saying, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just out here playing soccer. So you tell me where you want me to do or what you want me to do. And, but yeah, I think just, you know, kind of just being open to that stuff and being open to failing, because it wasn't all, you know, I could have very easily stopped at any point in time. Like, you hear plenty of stories of, you know, where, you know, hey, JUCO, what do you think junior college is? You know, why would you even do that? Because what's the end game there? You know, what's the end game of a 4-year school, or what's the end game of even playing soccer in the USL, those types of things, you know? But, you know, with a little bit of the end game in mind, just with it being open and just having opportunities, I think that just kind of kept me, you know, playing. I just loved the game too. So I made it easy, but it certainly was a different path. Like you said, any type of way you can do it.
It's so interesting too, because so many clubs or organizations will talk about a pathway, and we'll talk about your club experience in a second and having a very clear pathway, but that kind of, it doesn't work for everybody. And so that idea of persistence, that idea of just loving the game that much that you'll play anywhere. And like you say, I'm just playing. I'm just going where I'm going, and I keep turning up. So do you have a secret or a tip on a mindset for someone, or someone that's working with kind of influential players, especially as they get into an age where they start thinking more seriously about pursuing soccer? Did you have, I know you said you kind of followed on the coattails a little bit, but do you have a mindset, like a tool or a key that you would use a lot for you when you were playing and changing pathway?
Well, no, I don't think I could remember anything I did in particular. Like I said, there was a lot of joy. There was a lot of naiveness to it, where I was, you know, kind of open to what I was being provided with. You know what I mean? Like I said, I didn't have somebody in my ear saying, you know, this is not what it should be. Like, why are you, you know, you should be playing Division I soccer instead of JUCO. You know what I mean? I had confidence that I liked soccer and I enjoyed playing soccer. And, you know, like I said, I think, that was just the joy of it that it brought, just the competitiveness kind of, kept my mentality about it. But I would also say, you know, you hear things about just being, you know, comfortable being uncomfortable and being able to deal with failures. Cause like I said, I mean, going to a junior college could have been considered a failure for a lot of, you know, people coming out of high school soccer, you know. And then there's a lot of people that quit soccer when they come out of high school and they don't get Division I soccer opportunity, you know, and they might be thinking a year before that they're going to play professional soccer. And I don't want to say that I didn't think I was going to play professional soccer. I mean, there was a dream about playing professional soccer, but it wasn't maybe the driving force for me. It was, you know, the, just to continue to play and find opportunities within whatever was put in front of me, you know, because yeah. everything was positive. So I would say, yeah, just being okay with that failure, or just kind of being open to the different pathways, and make whatever track, you know, you can out of, you know, what your track is, you know what I'm saying? So your pathway is this way and it's telling you to go right. You got to be able to go right and take advantage of whatever that is, you know, and not say, oh, I should be going left. You know, it's like, that's what I think.
I'll ask you about your high school coaching role, and then connecting that in with how you just said about coming out of high school and seeing junior college as a quote unquote failure for a lot of players. Like, they don't get that full ride Division I scholarship, so that seems as a failure. So now the high school program that you're coaching in, is that, I'm assuming that's part of your education with your players and helping them not only on the field, but then in the future as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the toughest part, I think, is as a coach for me right now, just kind of, you know, cause I've been fortunate enough to continue my coaching education. I've been fortunate enough to meet, you know, great coaches and I've just been fortunate enough to even coach at a decent level. And even I think high school gets a bad rap. But I mean, even 5 years ago when I moved here and I was just looking for an opportunity and I had somebody just put the high school opportunity in front of me, it's the same if we go back to our pathways, right? Like, you know, I would have never thought maybe that I would be coaching high school, but I moved to Arizona and it was an opportunity and I just kind of got involved, and I got involved with some good people, and the high school program that I've been at for 5 years has, you know, been to a state final twice and been to a state semifinal two times, which again, in this area, I think is just great. So the level of competition, the level of players, the level of, you know, community involvement into it has been good. So that's been the challenge, I think, is because, we are very good, you know, and the players are very good. But you know, you have 25 kids on a high school team, and you have 10 of them maybe graduating. You'd be hard pressed to say that 10 of them are going to go to a Division I soccer program, you know, even though some of them all deserve that, but, it's just not easy, you know. And like I said, same thing for the club. I've been fortunate to coach with club soccer teams and, you know, go travel and play against good coaches, and the high school and the club, I coach and play and coach against good coaches, with good players. And I think that's the challenge, is because there is a certain level of disappointment. You know, it's hard for somebody to be excited about, you know, every offer that comes their way, you know, when maybe they have their idea set on a different type of path, you know? So, that's been the challenge, but I enjoy high school very much. There's a challenge there with the level of kind of sticking with it, because it's not easy to be, I think, good. So there's a level of mentality, I think, there, like you were bringing up, maybe is how hard it is to continue to be good and, you know, to challenge yourself that way, from a young player standpoint. You know, that's a lot of weight on their shoulders to have to win all the time, or their community or their parents think that they should win. And when they don't, or when they don't get that offer and it's only a junior college offer, that's a lot of the mental challenge, I think, for some of these players. So it's hard.
The high school experience is so interesting to me, because it I had a conversation recently about it, that it almost replicates a professional environment with the intensity and the training and the games, the frequency, like the in-depth contact with your players is something that I imagine probably a lot of club teams would like. And if you compare the two seasons, it'd almost be nice if it went even longer. So do you look forward to coaching high school? Is that like a release from club, or is that like the highlight of your year?
I don't know that it's a release or if it's a highlight, but I mean, I do look forward to it. I mean, you know, like a lot of different parts of the year, you know, it has its challenges, and it's like any part. So, you know, by release, I think it's kind of nice, because I think you get to a part of club, or you get to a part of something where you're like, man, I need something different, or I need a different challenge. And then you get into the high school year. And then by the end of the high school, you're like, oh man, I really want to get into a club. So maybe it is a good change. It's different. I do look forward to it, but you know, but you are right. I think it there's some resemblance to the college game. There's some resemblance to professional soccer, just because you do have connection with your players all year round, regardless of if you coach them in club or not. You know, you have that connection with them through the school platform. You have the connection to, you know, their grades. You have the connection to the community. So yeah, I think there's a lot of good positives to high school soccer, and I do look forward to it. Maybe not any more or less than I do maybe any type of club environment, or going to a club tournament, or coaching, you know, a 9 or 10 month season for club. But I would say that, yeah, the position I'm in right now provides a lot of excitement.
I agree with you too on the idea that the end of the season always feels like the end of the season. It's like, I am tired. I am done. I'm done. Like, this is our last game. This is our final pizza party, if you like, or whatever it is. But you spend however many months training and getting ready for that final, and then it's done. And I agree with you. The thought of getting back on the field the very next day and training those same players feels like it's like a mental game. You've hit the end of it. And now I would agree that it's time to go and kind of go and jump into something else. And I've always been, I would say, a critic of high school soccer. Just think I was maybe influenced by the people that would critique high school soccer a lot. And that became kind of the influence on me, and the idea that it was never really all that good. But as you say, if you're coaching good players in a good environment and you're playing at a real good level, then there's nothing that you can't complain about that. That surely is, like you said, that replication of a quality environment is really where we all want to be as coaches. Nobody really signs up to coach the bad kids. And I mean bad kids as in you join an organization and they have 5 teams at an age group. Nobody wants to coach the 5th team. Everybody wants to coach the 1st team, unless it's your own kid in the 5th team, I guess. But for most people, you know, they want to be at the top. And that for a lot of coaches is probably the most feasible way to get to the top.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm fortunate enough, and that's my background and it's my life, you know. So soccer, you know, being around the competitive side of it has driven me, you know, in the past and driven my personal life. So, you know, but like you said, I think that it replicates a lot of things, the community of it. So you have different levels of high school, and I think that's part of the high school that gets a bad rap is, you know, not every high school football program is the best football program in the state either. So, you know, what do you say to those kids that want to play high school sports that, you know, aren't going to have the same opportunities? But that doesn't mean that, you know, there's kids playing at, you know, Division I colleges playing in national championships that, you know, that played at, you know, 3A type of high schools, you know, for football. I mean, it just, so finding your right little path is key. I think there's definitely different ways to do it, you know, but you have different divisions for high school. You have different challenges, and you have different, you know, the same thing, like that 5th team or that 5th division high school team. The beauty of it is hopefully that they're playing against relative competition, you know, so they can still be, you know, they can still be a state champion, so to speak. But I would say it is a little bit different. I mean, everybody has their different views, and maybe that is the pinnacle for a, you know, a high school PE teacher who also coaches soccer at a 3A school and, you know, can kind of drive kids into an environment. Like you said, the environment is all that matters. I mean, that's what we're all out here doing, is trying to provide an environment for the kids to enjoy and be successful. But, you know, some of those kids will have a great experience playing high school soccer, you know, at a 3 level. Maybe one of them will go play college soccer. Maybe one of them will go play JUCO, you know, and play with a guy like me, or maybe one of them will be me and play JUCO and then play division, you know, NAIA, and then, you know, whatever their pathway is. But yeah, there's all kinds of different ways to cut it. I do think that high school soccer provides a great environment for the kids. And I think it can be better utilized, but you know, like I said, not every high school has the same, you know, the same resources, so to speak. You know, I mean, like I said, I coach against great coaches in my high school schedule. You know, not everybody can say that, really, you know. So, yeah. And my team plays against good teams. So, so I would argue from my standpoint that high school can be super beneficial for kids, and even for me as a coach. But, you know, some people might say, like, well, no, it's not like that for me. I don't play against good coaches. I don't, you know, I don't have good referees. I don't, you know, that's the challenge.
Make a good point, though, about even just individually as a coach, the fact that you are now managing a schedule. And as you said, 25 players that are all perhaps on different pathways and trying to either love the game and just play and represent their school, or players that are trying to push for more and more. And I think that as a coach, you've got to learn to deal with those different personalities. And I think club, you may have a more rounded collective of players, and we'll talk about your club experience in a second, but the idea that you are now like managing a schedule that is full on, and your club schedule kind of becomes routine. I would argue for me, it definitely becomes more routine. We train on these days, we have games on these days. On the other days that I don't have contact with you, I have expectations, or there's some sort of call or some sort of kind of call to action on their part, but it becomes almost routine. And I think if you're actually engaging with players every day, like in that environment, it might be very different for you as a coach, and a real good skill to learn. Flipping gears into the idea of working in club versus high school, the club you work for is RSL Arizona. And how long have you worked with those guys?
Yeah, probably, you know, it's the same thing. Right when we moved here, I started with this club who at the time was Legacy. And then, you know, wasn't 2 years ago, we combined forces. And now, you know, being RSL, Real Salt Lake, Arizona, which was, you know, used to be the club down in Casa Grande. That's, you know, the academy program for Real Salt Lake in Arizona. So, yeah, there was clubs that kind of joined and now created Real Salt Lake, Arizona. So all in all, I've been probably with basically the same club, which is now RSL AZ or Utah Royals AZ, for about 5 years.
And then let me ask you about, through our A license together, we worked a lot on kind of our own individual models and our own, the way we want to do things ourselves, our own environment, managing our own environment, managing our players. Now, working within a greater organization like that, in comparison to what I'll call a regular soccer club, are you limited? Are you hamstrung? Are you free to do your own thing? Are you doing it within the framework of the club, or is the club's framework your framework? How does it work for you as an individual within a greater organization like that?
Yeah, I think you said it right. I think the club's framework is within my framework. You know, I think that the standards of the club with the coaches is really high. So you have a lot of good coaches, a lot of good ideas. You know, the coach, the club puts out a curriculum. We do have a style of play. We do have a game model, I think. You know, but being a large club, I think you have, you know, top to bottom, every different type of player and every different type of team. Like you said, you could have a fifth team, you know, is that team playing a certain style of, and I'd say to a certain extent, yes, I think that's the goal. Obviously is to have a certain game model. And, I think, you know, whether or not I'm fortunate enough, I think, you know, the game model that I like to play and the style of play, certainly fits kind of the overall, you know, Real Salt Lake style of play, or the, you know, the game model there. So, maybe that's why I'm still around, you know, if I'm, yeah. A lot of the coaches have to, kind of adhere to that type of model. So yes, to a certain extent, I think the club, has an overview of the game model and the style of play for all the players, all the coaches. It is a very large club. So can every team display that, you know, that to a T? Probably not. But like I said, I have a similar style of play and a game model that, you know, that allows me to be free at least, you know, and coach my way at least.
And then how is that shared with you? Are there like education sessions where as groups of coaches, you're together on the field seeing different, I guess, sessions on building certain parts of a model together? Is that how it's shared? And I just know from my own experience where I've worked within organizations, and going back to my B license, we did the same kind of environment essay or kind of part of the assignments. And I actually reflected on the organization I was working in, and I decided it's not for me. And I actually left my organization and changed organization halfway through my license because I've actually taken a second and reflecting on what was actually going on around me and deciding this isn't for me. And so are you shared with that? Are you empowered in ways, or do they kind of say, this is what it is, and if you fit, you fit, and if not, you're not?
I mean, it's kind of put out there. I think there's just a large database of, you know, information, and it's shared via the club directors, and, you know, there's sessions that are shared, but that would be the freedom that you have. I think you can, you can structure your own sessions. You can run your own sessions. You can run your own activities. You can coach and set up and, do game days the way you want to do game days. I think, like I said, it's an overview. I'm allowed to have that freedom. I think, but it's basically shared, week to week, and month to month, on a curriculum wide basis and kind of where we all want to be, with our teams. And then, each coach can then personalize it, and each coach does it, their own type of thing, when it comes to that.
Working within a greater organization like that, is there an expectation to win or a demand on it?
Well, like
is that
I said,
a parent thing?
Yeah, no, I think the viewpoint on that, I think as a club, I think we want to win. And like I said, the club is big enough. It's not really like it's just a competitive club, but the programs that we have at the top, begin to think more about winning and the age groups that those programs play at. But being part of the new MLS league and then the Girls Academy League now, is where our most competitive teams play. And then you have the ECNL level teams as well. Those types of, when you get into those age groups that, the focus is winning, the focus is competitive. I think as a club, we are very competitive in terms of the coaching standards. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say that we just focus on winning or it is a focus, but I think the focus of the standards of training and being competitive and trying to win and is definitely there. I think from that standpoint, being a competitive club and having one of the higher competitive programs, and like I said, I think a higher standard of coaches, I think that absolutely is a focus, is the fact that we want to go out there and compete all the time. And that's how we're going to learn. We're going to do it in a certain way, but if you're not out there trying to do it to a certain way of winning, then that makes it a lot harder.
Said it perfectly in that it's not that it becomes win at all costs, but it becomes a case of we're going to train to win. We're going to do everything we can so that we can compete and win. And the idea of the way you set up your training, that becomes who you are, that almost has like a knock-on effect to the players. They know the environment they're coming into. And I imagine working within this organization, as you said, at the top, there's very top levels, which it's probably a motivation for a lot of players to A, join the organization, and for B, to, we go back to this pathway idea again, that's where they can see themselves going.
Yeah.
Now, is that something that you think it's only going to be a positive, I believe, unless you think otherwise, but is that something that you see as a real good kind of motivator for players as well?
Yeah, I think it's an added bonus for sure. I mean, I wouldn't even say that not everybody even looks at it like that. I would say that there is, just because that's the culture, right? Do we know what, the professional soccer environment is, or do we know that, where Real Salt Lake, is and plays, and what league and what type of players they play and what type of style does the pro team play, or the Utah Royals, women's team and the NWSL and, that type of thing. So it's definitely 100% a positive to have the connection there and to be able to, relate it to video. Cause like you said, you can have just this overlying bubble, this isn't how it's going to be. But if you have to, let's go take a look at this. If you want, let's go take a look at the pro team. Let's go take a look at this. And that at least gives you a visualization of it, to kind of say, well, okay, that seems like a higher standard, even though I'm the fifth team and I'm, 10 years old, I can still relate to the highest level, or at least the highest level that I'm exposed to. Maybe some kids are watching, Bayern Munich play every weekend. But maybe some of them aren't, and maybe some of them, the only thing they get are clips of professional art, Real Salt Lake play. Maybe they're fortunate enough to watch college soccer, things like that. So I think it's only a positive for sure to have that outlet to say, this is the uniform you're wearing. This is what the highest level looks like. But for a 10-year-old, they could be looking at the U18 team and say that, it's kind of just whichever way you kind of put it out there in front of them, or even as a parent, you know, are you a parent telling kids, you know, 11 years old, like, if you want to play for Real Salt Lake, this is what you got to do type of thing. I mean, that's, that's kind of hard. That kind of goes back to the beginning is, you know, what's the pathway? What's somebody putting out in front of you? Because if you're not doing it, you feel like you're doing something wrong. It's only a positive that the kids at least get to know that they're tied into that for sure.
Yeah. And I imagine for a kid, I remember playing for Northampton Town in the UK, and we would go into the changing rooms after the first team had played and we would clean up. And just looking back at that and seeing those players wearing the same uniform that I was wearing playing in the stadium, like that to me was just such a simple pathway to see, like you're in the same organization. So that to me was, I don't think anybody, it was never really a focal point, but as a player, I knew it. Like those players are wearing the same uniform as me. I have a chance to go and wear that uniform. I was a ball boy during the professional games. I had the same badge on all the time. That was a clear pathway for me. And something I've noticed is a lot of clubs are adding USL franchises and being able to identify a pathway. We keep talking about pathway, but this idea of there's a men's team or a women's team ahead of you, and this is where you can end up. And I think that can only help players see the future a little bit more, because what I've noticed even during this quarantine time of kids not really understanding the future and working independently with every player and saying, you know, where do you want to end up? What do you think you want to do? Shoot for the moon? You want to play for the US national team? You want to play for Mexico? Like, that's what you want to do. What's it going to look like for you? What are the twists and turns that could get you there? And for many, they don't have that big picture idea. But I think if you tied in an organization like this, where you can see even just the top guys wearing the same badge, that can only help. That can only help stimulate, it can only help excite, it can only help kind of help them understand that that is a possibility for them.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, going back to your own personal experience that, and you being fortunate enough to grow up in that culture. And I would say, you know, the experiences that I've had, that was the biggest thing is, you know, is soccer is everywhere. You know, when you get into, you know, Europe or the UK and things like, and you're just exposed to it around the corner. So, you know, and then it's in the marketing and it's in the stores and it's in the restaurants and it's on the news and it's on the TV. And, you know, like I said, here, it's not necessarily like that. So it is certainly beneficial to create that culture and for clubs to have, you know, USL teams in the same state, you know, or other clubs that are part of USL, you know, whatever it is, and other clubs that are part of pro teams and other clubs that have, you know, these challenges. I think that's, it's just good for the game. It's good for the culture, right? I mean, cause at the end of the day, like, you know, looking further down the road, hopefully, like that's, you know, you're only going to be able to be tied into that part of your community or, you know, to kind of keep you involved, that you want to be a part of it. Right. Because you know that it's tied in, or you know that your neighbor or your buddy over there is tied in and he wears the same badge. And then, you know, so even though that, you know, you can't maybe watch the professional game, you know, in your own backyard, like it is a lot of the places, you know, in Europe, but at least there's some sort of tie in, and that's only going to keep growing and growing and growing the way you see the MLS or the way you see the USL or the USL2 or the MPSL or whatever men's league team that you can actually put out there in front of, you know, kids or people to create that culture that they can tie in, or it could be high school or college, you know, I mean, if you did a good enough job at it, because, you know, the numbers are there and the structure is there, but, you know, just to have something that like you're saying, like the badge, like, oh, hey, I wear that same badge. Like, let me just go out there and this with a certain level of respect. And even though, you know, you tossed the ball to a guy, you probably didn't know whether or not he was, you know, so-and-so, you know, bench player, or he could have been the best. He could have been the best player in the country, you know, but you don't know. But you probably felt just this level of pride, I think, regardless. You know, I know that, you know, just being a part of the game, you can walk into, you walk off that field as a USL 2 player, and a kid will look at you like, you know, you're David Beckham sometimes. I mean, it's just a hero. So, you know, so that to the kid then, you understand that that's just a big part of it, I think, just to have that.
So then when we, referring again to the A license and working through like IDPs, individual development plans, and I'm a huge advocate for them. I think they can only help. And with the players, I often try and challenge them to think about the players they can replicate, or the idea of the environment those players have been in and where they've come from. Do you have stuff like that you do with your players, or anything significant that you can kind of follow along with them? And I think kind of going back to the idea of this pathway, and this is maybe where high school versus club soccer is a bit more of a discussion, in that if you're in a club environment like RSL or like Utah Royals, where you see the first team ahead of you, you can begin to perhaps shape an IDP along that pathway. Whereas with high school, it seems like it's kind of open-ended where they could go from there, because it's not like a high school feeds to a college or feeds to another type of program. So like, how do you separate the way you work with players in club and then from high school?
Yeah, a little bit of the same. I mean, just because, you know, the exposure to the club and the IDPs and, you know, just kind of build relationships with the players, and just figuring out what their plan would be or what their goals are. And, you know, like you said, having, you know, the upper competitive club soccer, you see the kids, you know, 3 to 4 times a week, you know, maybe you see them all weekend at the tournaments. You know, so you're with them, you're around them. So I think it's important to just kind of always be, like I said, my pathway wasn't as structured as we talked about before. It wasn't, hey, you get to this point and you go this way, and you get to this point, and you go that way. So I would say, you know, even still to this day, I would say my coaching is like that, where each kid I try to engage in a certain way and see, you know, well, this, here's your goal, and maybe you can do this, and what's your, you know, give them some kind of a freedom or some kind of accountability, and kind of empower them into their own individual development plan. Because, like I said, I was kind of forced into that, you know. I was empowered to do my thing. So as a coach, I try to do that as well. You know, I think more kids need direction than others, you know. I think, and some people feel like they're failing because maybe they're not getting, told that they're going to, you know, they need to do this to go to Division I, you know, thing like a program or something like that. But I would say, you know, the club has a level of IDP and, you know, and a pathway to do that stuff. Each kid is different. For the high school too, I utilize a lot of the club stuff I do for high school. You know, it's a shortened season for sure, but you know, we have the kids fill out individual development plans, figure out what they want to do, and that's the beauty of the high school too, because you have maybe freshmen that are a part of a team, and that's completely different than a senior that's a part of that team and what their season looks like and what their end goal is, because they might be thinking about that college scholarship, and you know, whereas a freshman is just thinking, oh, I want to just be a part of the team, and
I just want to make the team, yeah.
Just be called upon every now and then. But yeah, so I try to just have just relationships, and on a, you know, on a daily, weekly basis, you know, kind of talking to the kids about where they're at, what they think, and to a certain extent, keep their mind off of you know, the end game type of thing. You know, like, it's always there, but you know, with, you know, your approach shouldn't change every day, because, you know, all of a sudden it clicks in your mind, like, oh, I'm going to be a Division I soccer player. I better start, you know, it shouldn't change a whole lot. So I think, you know, just pushing each kid individually in their own way and holding them accountable as best you can is important for all levels, you know, and not, you know, like you said, not being too structured with it too, not being too like set in your way. It's like, oh, you didn't do that. Like, you didn't get your 50 juggles. Well, say goodbye.
What are you doing? Player. What are you even doing? So you make a really good point too, that maybe this could be a fault of my own too, in focusing constantly on the idea of the end goal. Like, I want you to be the best that you can be. That's my philosophy when I'm coaching you. But sometimes I can get, I guess, bogged down in those ideas. I want you to be the best you can be, and we're going to make you a pro. And that starts with you doing everything right now. Like, don't mess up right now, or make sure you get those 50 juggles, or make sure that the ball work that you're doing right now is super relevant. And I've tried to kind of shift that focus a little bit. And like you said, I think perhaps your experience and your own soccer education have really helped set you up to work with players in such a different way than what I had. And I guess I want to like share with the players that they can do it, but I didn't do it. So now I'm maybe perhaps anxious to challenge them to do it, because I didn't, and I want them to do it so bad. And really, like, consciously focusing on the idea that, You can go and mess around. Go and kick the ball in the basketball hoop. Go do some bicycle kicks into the pool. Like, go and have some fun with it as well as be completely serious and just love it. I think maybe that's one of the biggest things I'm taking away from the way you work with your players too. You're a person and you're someone that I want you to love the game first and foremost.
Yeah. That's a hard balance. Like you said, I can do a better job. I think sometimes being, you know, honed in and say, well, yeah, if you don't get these 50 juggles, you know, it's like, you know, you're not developing in the right manner. But, you know, like I said, when I look back, even at my youth, I don't think I was, you know, when I went out to the park with my best friends and, you know, we were kicking balls and we were doing bicycle kicks and we were doing tricks and flicks. I don't think that we, you know, kind of scheduled it at 3 p.m. and we said, hey guys, don't forget, if we don't do this, we're not going to play professional soccer, you know, and hey, make sure when you're whipping that ball in, you do this, because if you don't, you know, you're not going to be a, I mean, there was just a certain level. I think you have to have a certain level of naiveness to, you know, what you're doing. But yeah, at the end of the day, like you said, you're trying to be the best you can, you know, for that day. And you have to do it in a manner that, I mean, you know, I'm doing this because I enjoy it. I enjoy the competitive side of it. You know, there isn't never going to be a time when I don't want to be better, you know, and I don't right. want to keep, you know, keep enjoying playing soccer, you know? So, that sort of thing has to be the idea too, where you're just going out there and you're training hard. And, like I said, it doesn't matter if it's Tuesday or Thursday or whether or not you have a championship game or you have a bye week, you know, type of thing. Or if you're stuck at home for 3 months, you know, it's like, what's changed between my challenge too is, you know, figuring out what is your mentality or your approach to it. And it has to be driven, but it can't always be, you know, you're driving into that end goal, right? Cause that's when the burnout I think happens. So I was, but you don't want to be too lazy, you know?
No, I agree. And I think maybe that's the line that many coaches are trying to figure out. And then I want to ask you about this idea. If people are starting to talk about return to play and to go back to my comment in terms of, you know, I like to coach in a certain way. I think the way that I coach will help players understand more than I'm trying to teach them why as well as how. And so really helping them see in things like small-sided games. And I know in Arizona, you've recently got back on the field and, I'm seeing people posting session plans, at least, of how they're planning on working with their kids in isolated practices or trying to follow this social distancing idea, but still trying to train. And that to me is scary because it's very anti what I would do in a typical session. And so what's that been like for you in terms of challenging the players and even challenging yourself? Because I know you follow a very similar style of coaching to me in terms of using games more than the theoretical isolated right. practice.
Yeah. And everything, you know, going into finishing up, you know, the A license and all that stuff and the education, you know, you have to, you know, everything that we've discussed and led into this point has been trying to make it as realistic to the game as you can. And then all of a sudden something like this happens and you're talking about training in a 10-yard by 10-yard box, you know, with nobody else, you know, or you're training on a Zoom meeting and you're thinking to yourself, you know, well, obviously there's certain levels to benefit, for all those things. I would say too, I mean, I was anxious to get back out on the field. I was, you know, I was just concerned for every reason, you know, but obviously it was just different. So, but that's exactly what it is. It's different. I've tried to find ways, like, you know, to try to visualize, you know, being out on, you know, a soccer field. I mean, it's nice to go out there and, again, maybe we're fortunate enough to be able to go out right now because, again, there's coaches, there's kids that are like yourself that are still unable to do that. But we're fortunate that we were able to be out there. And that's been the message, I think. Like, hey, at least you can pull your head up from, you know, the hard work and sweat and you can look across 10 yards, you know, and you can't high five each other. You can't hug each other. But at least you now know that this person's working hard and that they're out there with you. And, you know, and like I said, there's been a certain level of like fun to it. You know, we've gotten the music out there. We've gotten, you know, like I said, there's something to be said about just doing skill work. There's something to be said about, you know, playing 3 games a week and getting that game experience. You know, but at the end of the day, yeah. You have to take whatever, you know, the main message, right? Like everybody's got a different track here. Like the track now is telling us that we have to go outside and be stuck in a 10-yard box and train. You know, we could not do it, or we could complain about it, or we could just figure out whatever way we can to adjust and be better. And yeah, I mean, that's been the fun part for me, is trying to, you know, to a certain extent pretend, you know, and try to visualize and say, and tell me, you know, like, you know, my whole thing throughout all this, the first 2 weeks where I was training kids, you know, 20 kids on a field and in 10-yard boxes. And I told them the last thing I wanted them to get better at was dribbling to a cone, you know, and back and forth to a cone with your head down. So I think that's been the challenge, you know, for the kids too. But, you know, like I said, I tell them at the end of every session too, you know, you're out here, you're outside, you're out here working. To a certain extent, that's going to benefit you. But there are things that you can create, you know, bad habits. So that is the challenge, I think, when you start getting back, you know, returning to play and, you know, having the idea that there are no soccer games that are going to be played, you know, tomorrow or soon, for a lot of people. And how can you relate it to a real live game? You know, if the end goal is to be a good soccer player, not somebody that, you know, dribbles in a box. It's like, I can be a good dribbler in a box, you know?
Yeah. So, it's interesting. Again, the idea of persistence comes out again for the kids to just keep doing it, keep working it. This is the situation we have right now. Like you said, you are fortunate enough to be out on the field here in California. We're not allowed out yet. It looks like in San Francisco, we're looking at August as a get back on the field time. So we're literally months behind. So if you want to host us, I'll fly my team out to Arizona and we can play in Arizona.
Yeah, man. Send your team out here maybe for a training session. You know, bring them out here for a friendly match if we're all allowed to do that.
What are you doing for sessions and such? Where are you? What are you drawing on from that? Because I'm seeing people on Twitter. Twitter's a real good place. Do you making your own? Is it a club resource, or is it something that you are researching? And if so, where from?
Yeah, the club has, you know, good standards of coaches, so there's a lot of shared material, I think. And then again, you take that. Some people might really enjoy developing sessions like Korver sessions, you know, and some people are really good at it. I've taken Korver, you know, youth diplomas and stuff like that, so I'm familiar with it. But yeah, there's some information that's been shared, and then you can kind of put your own turns and twists into it. But it's just been a lot of that. It's been a lot of technical stuff. You know, a lot of ball work, a lot of mobility stuff. Yeah, just loads of technique and loads of fitness, I guess, to a certain extent.
Change it up? Do you change the content or the work that specific players are doing based on their position or based on the demands of them in the game? Or is it kind of everybody's doing the same sort of thing?
My way of doing it, is to kind of give the players that, you know, they need to do that. So if, for instance, if you're doing some ball work and you're driving into a, you know, to do a move and execute and beat a defender to find space, you know, and you're doing that in a 10-yard box. But it is different, you know, when you talk with, maybe you're talking to a U18, you know, higher level elite player or something, and they already know that they're a right back. You know, so my message to the group would be, you know, visualize yourself in your own position making this movement, you know what I mean? So rather than kind of developing a session to where, because we have a goalkeeper that comes out just to do the technical work, you know what I'm saying? So you could request maybe that goalkeeper to bring their gloves and do some diving work for them maybe in that technical session. Or you just, you know, tell them like, hey, in the course of the buildup, you understand that you have to make two dribbles forward and try to make a pass. Can you kind of make that up in your mind? Type of situation. So I'd say most of the kids, most of the time, are doing the same exact exercise. But, you know, you kind of empower them or try to tell them to figure out a way if they need to. You know, for a 10-year-old, it might not be necessary. But for, you sure. know, the UH, you know, six or the center midfielder that needs to scan the field more, maybe you can, as an individual, coach that player to scan the field more, or you tell the outside back to drive quicker and to accelerate into the space quicker type of situations, you know? So
I like that. And I've done a lot of work on position profiles too. And the same thing, helping players understand the demand on them and try and reduce the, not the demand on me, but the reliance on me to give them kind of the answer so much. Like, you've identified yourself as a number six. What's important for you? So how is that important for you in this 10-yard box right now? And I think that's been my biggest takeaway for if we are able to get back on the field and work isolated, that bringing this whole position profile with them and really understanding, as you said, what's relevant to you right now? What's so important for you, and how are you going to put that in here?
Right. Yeah. And then again, each kid's development is different too. I mean, if you just relate it to, you know, somebody that's just, you know, lights out with the right foot, and you can just tell them, hey, challenge yourself and just do everything with your left foot then, you know?
Yeah,
so as simple as something like that, you know, when we're doing these isolated training sessions, you know, can be the challenge. You know, we have kids that are, you know, you're talking about like 08 kids training with, you know, 01, 02 kids. And how do you push them to be kind of different sometimes, or are they pushing the technique and the other kids are pushing the physical, or the explosiveness, or, you know, you kind of give a little bit of leeway because that player needs to have their head down a little bit more. Whereas, you know, you're yelling at the other player that they need to get their head up, more. So, lots of different challenges. Like I said, I mean, we would hope and wish that the kids are doing a lot of the stuff that we're doing now together on their own, right? Because when they come to the team sessions, we're now able to do the game realistic and the bigger picture type of stuff. And, you know, in a real life, formations and, game scenarios type of thing. So, you know, and so you hope that stuff that we're working on now, we've always hoped that kids are doing on their own, you know, in their backyards with 10 yards. So if anything, maybe every kid can take away from something like this that, hey, all right, well, this is what I can do now instead of, you know, on Thursday, outside of my team session, I'm going to be doing this stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of positives to come from it. You know, because otherwise we wouldn't be doing this, you know, and it's summertime and there's not a lot of games. So, you can take a lot of stuff away from this that maybe, you know, some players never did any quarter training or technical work or never did any ball work. And now they're getting, you know, 2 to 3 sessions a week, you know, for the past 2 weeks. For the past 2 weeks on it. So they're doing their own little technical sessions and, you know, they're challenging because you're by yourself. You can't hide, you know what I'm saying? You could hide in a passing line and not get any work done, practice session, but you know, why even show up to train if you're in your own little box, if you're not going to work hard. So I've taken some positives from it for sure.
Do you feel like there's an element of like catching up? Like we've missed the season, quote unquote, missed the season. So do you feel like players and even coaches of clubs have like this urgent feeling of making up for missed time?
Well, I mean, I would only think that, you know, again, if it wasn't everybody, you know, and I like, it's hard because I say that too. And you're like, well, we don't get back till August, you know, and you guys are out there training. So, you know, maybe again, from our standpoint too, being one of the more, you know, the first states to kind of open up or roll it out, you know, again, whether that's positive or negative. Then there's still players that aren't training. But I would say, you know, the course of the 2 or 3 months now that we've dealt with this stuff and the fact that, you know, the same type of level, like, you know, the Premier League still not playing. So, you know, they haven't played any games. So, you know, you could argue that the Bundesliga is now, you know, those players are ahead of the Premier League players, you know, and what about Champions League? So is that fair? And then you look at the youth game. I mean, yeah, to a certain extent. But, you know, we're not playing any games. It's not yet that, you know, Arizona's out here playing in tournaments and we're out here, you know, we're out here getting, you know, high level games and you know, California teams aren't or Florida teams aren't, that sort of thing, because it's, you know, that's what I think. It's across the board. So, you know, did we miss out? I don't think that, that we did, or that anybody should worry about that. Or if you're a youth player, you need to worry about that, or a parent. Sure. I mean, the part that's trouble that sucks is some of the, you know, the older kids that missed opportunities maybe in the summer to get recruited. And, you know, you could have been a player just sitting there teetering, like maybe when I was in high school, you know, that barely even knew where they were going to go to college, you know, and maybe didn't have an opportunity. And then fortunately, you know, just wound up at a junior college because, you know, your buddy was going there, or your other buddy was going there, or you had a soccer game in the spring where the coach was at, you know, so some players maybe missed out on that. And it could be a positive thing because maybe they didn't want to play soccer, you know? So now they don't have the pressure of getting a scholarship. So that would be the challenge that some kids maybe, you know, missed an opportunity to go play college soccer because of something like this. But hopefully there's not too many of those.
So Eddie, as we wrap up here, mate, how can people listen and connect with you, follow you, see what's going on with you?
I try to stay involved as much as possible. I'm not probably not as well connected as you are, but obviously, you know, I'm on Twitter. I try to get involved with Instagram. You know, during this quarantine, I took a brief, you know, dab at trying to become TikTok famous.
TikTok's pretty good though.
So, you know, I'm out there on all of it, you know, at Hertz and C. So that's me. You know, so I'm out there, and if anything, anybody always is able to connect with me. And, like I said, I'm a very open person, to a certain extent. I like having conversations like this. It's a pleasure being on here. If anything, just to get the socialness and to talk to you again, like this, because we had many of conversations like this throughout our weeks at the A license. So,
I like to think this is just a replication of sat having breakfast, talking club stuff, high school stuff. And you can't be sat having a sausage sandwich, talking about the way our clubs are working independently. So Eddie, I've missed you, man. And I really appreciate you coming on. This is brilliant. And I think just the idea of your background and having this, the word of persistence, following that there is a pathway for someone everywhere, and it's not this direct pathway to the top that we all think or that we even try and promote to our players. So I think huge props to you for the work that you're doing with your players and the work you continue to do outside of that with even trying to get TikTok famous. So thank you, mate.
No, man, I appreciate it. Thank you. It's definitely a pleasure getting on here.
So it's at Hertz and C on all the social channels. Give them a follow. Eddie, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lee.
As I said in the intro, Eddie and I were in the same group on the A license, and just goes to show the contacts and the connections that you build that I feel are significantly missing when we're working through Zoom calls and Zoom conferences. So check out leadonsoccer.com. There is a Facebook group there that I have open for you to review and analyze your own environment. And within that community there are other coaches who are on the same pathway, all trying to figure out their own route forwards, their own way to the top of whatever their desired game and club of work is, or if it's a school or if it's professional too. So come and join us on there. Check it out, leadonsoccer.com. More coming from me as always. Again, Hertzen at Hertzen C. You can get in with Eddie and with me at Leadonsoccer. Let us know what you think. More coming from Heads and Volleys real soon.